A reading from Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. He called the crowd in with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me this morning? We give you thanks, O Lord, for your word, for it is the truth, and it has the power to set us free. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this series of messages as we kick off this new church year is called Real. And the fact of the matter is, it has never been more difficult than the time in which we live to know what is real. We live in a time where there's things that are made up, that are spread around, and with the power of our technology, the ability of those artificial things to somehow encroach into our minds as the real thing, it becomes very difficult to distinguish. I'd like you to watch this one group that has had some real inroads into this.
A Melbourne couple holidaying in Sydney.
The shock of their lives at Temarama.
The lightning strike appears to have missed the woman by a matter of meters.
Snowboarder using a selfie stick captured a bear chasing.
The video quickly sparked horror and captured headlines around the world.
Snowboardist движется скоростью более 70 километров.
Video posted on YouTube yesterday has already reached more than 3 million views.
This close call was with a great white shark.
A lion seeking vengeance for the slaying of his buddy.
Oh, yes! Yeah, you can't make up reactions like that.
Oh my god, buddies are hot! Come back by me!
They either animated the bear or got it from a green screen stock footage website.
So these guys at Riot Content, their whole thing was to see if they could make videos that would go viral, that were totally fake. They made everything up. It's actually over 500 million views of their information that was, as you saw, captured by local news stations and picked up as real, real news, even though it was fake. You know, that just is sort of the way we live today. You know, we have to sort through all kinds of messages, whether they're video, whatever our source of information is, and try to ask ourselves, is this real? And, you know, when it comes down to the things that are really important in life, it is even more significant because we are being bombarded not just with video messages, but with all kinds of other information about what is real. So last week we looked at real life, and today I want to look with you at something that's very similar, and that is real success. You know, being successful is probably the number one thing that we are obsessed with in our competitive culture. Everybody wants to be thought of as being successful. Everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to be a success. And so there are a lot of different ways of thinking about that, and part of the problem is, of course, there is no one agreed upon. This is the measure of success. We have a lot of different things that can all be counted in that success category. For many people, immediately we go to the economic measurement of success, right? We think people who are successful are people who make a lot of money. And that is often the thing that is trumpeted when people are talking about folks who are successful. But we can immediately sort of say, gosh, that's just not true. Just to say somebody who makes a lot of money or has a lot of money is somehow successful or more successful than people who don't have as much, we can immediately say that just doesn't add up. We know a lot of people who are perhaps very wealthy who aren't really people you'd want to emulate. And there are people who are very limited means who have extraordinary lives to be lifted up. So we don't measure it by money, maybe by, you know, championships, but that doesn't quite add up either. And so, you know, we find ourselves struggling almost to say, well, what is success? What does it mean to be successful when there are so many different definitions, so many different measuring sticks that the world has told us and sold us? As Christians, we have to look at a different set of standards, a different set of measuring, a different set of definitions of success. And Jesus has some very, very clear things to say about it. And so we do want to look at Scripture this morning and see how Jesus defines success. There is a fascinating incident that happens toward the end of Jesus' ministry. You know, he's gathered his disciples around them and they're going down the road, and suddenly Jesus overhears a conversation among his followers asking, who is the most successful? Who is the greatest? And they're kind of having an argument, a debate about who's the better preacher, who's healed more people, who's, you know, more, you know, successful in sharing the good news of Christ. Who is the greatest? And Jesus overhears this and he pulls them together and he says, guys, that's the world's definition. People who are powerful, famous, wealthy, influential, that's how the world defines success. But this is not the way it will be among us. And then Jesus says one of the most important phrases. He says, whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. The first dimension of Christian success has to include service to others. Jesus said, if you want to be great, it's not about you, it's about how you treat other people. And are you, you know, lifting up the fortunes and the lives of other people? Serving is the first dimension of Christian success. It's so different than the world. The world says successful people are served by others. They are so important that other people are waiting on them. Jesus says, no, it's the opposite. People who are really successful are the people who are finding ways to invest themselves into the fortunes of other people to lift them up. That is the first part of success. President George H.W. Bush, the first President Bush, said it this way, any definition of a successful life must include serving others. If you're a Christian, you know, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a Christ follower, you don't have to serve others. There's no expectation of that. Success is defined by your own accumulation, your own hoarding, whatever that treasure may be. But as a Christ follower, serving has to be part of our understanding of a success. The second aspect of Christian success is very similar, and that has to do with being selfless. The world says successful people are people who build themselves up, people who call attention to themselves. Successful people are people that it's all about me. For Christians, success has to do more not with me, but with us. There is this element of Christian success that simply has to do with making sure that other people are flourishing and not just ourselves. There is a self-emptying component of Christian success. Jesus told a parable about this, and at the end of the parable, he said another one of these incredibly important statements. He said, so the last will be first, and the first will be last. What Jesus is talking about there is people being selfless, not being so concerned about how I'm doing. Am I winning? What are my grades? What's my batting average? How am I getting ahead? But are asking, how are we doing? And is there something more I can do so that other people can do their best as well? In the Christian understanding of success, if others aren't being successful, then no matter how well we may do, we are falling short of the mark. And then finally, the third dimension of Christian success has to do with sacrifice. The world's definition of success, it's often measured by how much we accumulate, how much we hoard, so that our personal net worth keeps getting bigger and bigger, and then we can kind of prove to the world that we are more successful. How many awards we can win, how many trophies we can stash. It's all about our accumulation of the things of this world. Jesus said some very pointed things about this, including the scripture that we heard today. Jesus says it's not only not about hoarding, but that hoarding can be one of the first dimensions of death, spiritually speaking. Jesus said, for those people who are, you know, trying to prove their success and their goodness, he says, those who save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what does it profit if you gain the whole world but lose your life? Now, if you were here last week, there are three different Greek words that translate into life: bios, psyche, and zoe. And we talked about zoe being that eternal life. The word that's used here in the Greek is psyche. Jesus is saying, if you gain all of the things that this world can offer, all the material things, and hold on to them, you are in danger of losing your soul. And don't we know this to be true? We see played out in front of our eyes people who have accumulated vast fortunes of fame, of popularity, of money, who are absolutely miserable people. Often children born into families of great wealth and accumulation end up being the most miserable of adults. It's almost backwards. The very thing that the world says, this makes you successful, Jesus says, that could be the thing that destroys you. And it so often does. Jesus says success isn't by how much we accumulate and hoard, it's how much we give and sacrifice. That's what makes for a successful life. It's counterintuitive. He told a very funny parable about this, about a guy who was pretty well off to begin with. And then he has a bumper crop. He has the biggest crop he's ever had. Huge amounts of produce from the land. And he says to himself, what am I going to do with all of this that I have, this great accumulation of wealth? Do you remember what he said? He goes, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to build a bigger barn for all my more stuff. I've got so much stuff, I need a bigger warehouse to store it in. And once I get it all stored away, all this food that I've grown, I can retire early. I won't have to work another day in my life because I'll have it all. I will be a success because of how much I've accumulated and hoarded. And Jesus says, that is so foolish. What a terrible way to think. When you have that kind of abundance and you don't have a sacrificial heart, you lose your soul. He says, tonight your soul will be taken from you. And then he says this, so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich towards God and others. The world so often indicates that success is by accumulating more and more. And Jesus says, no, that's dangerous. You should be trying to give more and more. Let me be clear about this. There is nothing wrong with competing. There's nothing wrong with winning. There's nothing wrong with doing well. But the question is, what purpose? Is it for ourselves? for our own comfort, our own pleasure, our own ego, our own sense of self or success? Or do we see our hard work and energy being used so that we can serve others, be less selfish, and become more sacrificial? You know, there's a guy who seems to have grasped this as well as anyone I've seen. His name is Chuck Feeney. Do anyone know Chuck Feeney? Probably not, which is one of the reasons why this guy is such a great example of success. Chuck Feeney was born in New Jersey, went to Cornell University. He's in his 80s now, and he is one of the world's greatest philanthropists, and he is virtually unknown. In fact, he was so reclusive, most people had never seen him nor met him until just recently. He allowed himself to be interviewed in his mid-80s. And this is just a short part of an interview you can see online if you'd like to see more.
You start off with a game plan.
There's logic in making things happen now, especially if now there are things out there that are necessary. And I'm not here to tell anybody what they should do with their money. If you make your money, you do what you want with it. But I think there is an obligation, certainly, for the haves to reach out and to look at, see what they can do.
I think we don't realize the problems that are going to be facing the need to support our kids in schools.
We teach kids how to ride bikes, and some of them had never ridden a bike before. And of course, the joy of some child who finds out that he can ride a bike, was like winning the lottery.
Any money that people give to any good cause, as long as it's well managed, is worthwhile.
Success is success, you know. If you achieve what you think you wanted to achieve, you operated successfully. We tried to do that.
A shy American billionaire is helping transform Queensland's medical research, and in doing so, he's saving lives.
And he's 81 years old. Few people on earth have given away more.
The reclusive philanthropist donated $27.5 million to the improved facility.
Queensland has benefited greatly from the American's generosity, which has seen him give away $6 billion around the world.
Well, Chuck Feeney, who you mentioned, is one of the great philanthropists of the age.
He is quite likely the world's most generous and modest donor. Chuck is the man who had it all and gave it all away.
So this guy, he came up with the idea of the duty-free shops. How many have ever seen the duty-free shops when you fly through the airport? That was his idea. And then early on, as his business was taking off, he set up this thing called Atlantic Philanthropies. He put all of his money to go for philanthropic purposes. He and his wife live in San Francisco in a tiny little apartment. He drives a regular car. He has a $15 watch. He's never been interviewed. He's never called his attention. All of the giving is through this philanthropy. No one even knew who was behind it. His business has made over $8 billion, and he's given away almost all of it. And his intention is to have it all given away by the time he leaves planet Earth, with no fanfare, with no need to be noticed or recognized. And the impact he's had all over the world is extraordinary. I know what you're thinking. If I had $8 billion, friends, you have a treasure. Every single person here has been given a treasure. A treasure from God. It may be financial, it may be your personality, your ability to connect to children, your compassion for the people who are left out, your ability to articulate ideas and make them understandable to other people. Your patience with teenagers that other people simply don't have. You have a treasure. God has entrusted something to you. And He wants to see you become a success with that gift that He has given. But you can't hoard it to yourself. You have to use it to serve others. You have to use it to draw attention to the accomplishments of others rather than your own. And you have to share it sacrificially. Jesus says, if you do those things, you are going to be a success. You're going to be an overwhelming success. And the day is going to come, and you are going to be so surprised because you are going to hear a voice saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Friends, that's success. Lord, thank you so much for giving us such clear guidelines that are so hard for us to follow because they go against so many of the messages we receive that are simply false. God, we reject so much of the teaching of the world that takes away from you, that takes us away from you, that has the potential to destroy our soul. And we're thankful, God, that we have this chance to come and be restored, to allow that which is real to become clearer to us. Give us the courage to live the way that you have taught us. And we give you the thanks in Christ's name. Amen.